Today's reading is from Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. And if you don't have a Bible handy, perhaps you could pause this while you get one and look up the passage. Jesus calms the storm. Then he, Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
I don't know if you've had somebody say of you, or whether you have said to someone else, "I wish I had your faith." That kind of statement can make faith feel, on the one hand, elusive, something that somehow we can't grasp hold of, I've not managed to achieve it yet, or exclusive, where did you get that faith from? Now, if we want to understand faith, Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27 is a great place to look. Although it's only a few verses, it explains the nature of incomplete or little faith and the nature of complete or true faith. We'll look at both of those in turn, but before we do, let me pray. Heavenly Father, please would you teach us as we open your word. And help us by your Spirit to understand Jesus and what it means to trust him. Amen. So let's begin with the first of those, incomplete or little faith. If you've been with us in recent weeks, you'll know that Matthew arranges his material very intentionally. And underpinning his organisation is the concern that we as the reader might know clearly who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Now, in this section, or just before this section, which is about who he is and what it means to follow him, we discover two people who'd misunderstood what that meant. One was too quick in responding, not realising the cost. The other too slow, not realising the commitment. But now as we join our passage in chapter 8, verse 23, it looks as if the disciples have got that right. Why don't we read those two verses again from verse 23. Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Then the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Now, some of those listening to this will themselves be sailors, and you may have found yourselves in that experience of heading into unpredictable weather. I remember speaking to someone who was on holiday sailing in the Mediterranean, and one night there was a furious squall that came up, and she said she was terrified. And that's what it was like for the disciples here. Although we know from the calling of the disciples in chapter 4 that many of them were fishermen and therefore used to severe storms on the Sea of Galilee, this one was particularly bad, particularly sudden. It came, we're told, without warning, and now waves were coming over the side of the boat. There was fear that they were going to drown. So desperate was it that these hardy fishermen call out to Jesus, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." In the original, it's three very pithy words that we would translate, "Lord, save, we perish." Here were people with Jesus, frightened by the situation in which they found themselves, concerned about whether they would live or die. And even if we're not sailors, we can see the parallels today. We might feel frightened by the situation in which we find ourselves. Perhaps we're concerned as to whether we or those we know might even die. What does faith mean when trouble is all around us? These disciples had heard Jesus teach. They'd seen his miracles. They'd given up everything to follow him. And wonderfully, it seems now that at the point of real crisis, in the face of death, they know that Jesus can save them. It looks like great faith, knowing that Jesus can help, the only one perhaps who can help, in the face of impending death. And yet, when we come to the beginning of verse 26, Jesus says to them, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" How can it be that people who've heard Jesus preach, seen his miracles, given up everything to follow him, now appear to be calling to him to save their lives, can have little faith? Well, it clearly can't be to do with the quantity of faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed is sufficient. Perhaps then it relates to the quality. In a moment, a question is going to come up on the screen that might give us time just to think about what Jesus could be saying. Here's the question. What do you think caused Jesus to say the disciples had little faith? I don't know what kind of answer you came up with in response to that question. I think most people would look at the disciples and say, "I wish I had your faith." Now, like them, we have the teaching of Jesus. It's recorded in the New Testament. We know of his miracles, which we're told also accredit him to us. And yet few of us have given up our jobs to follow him. And even fewer of us may have really had to call on him when we thought we were going to die. Now, if they had little faith, what does that mean for our faith? We might well want Jesus to explain. And as we continue in Matthew chapter 8, in some senses, we get an answer, we get an explanation. Let's look again at verse 26. Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The real question which distinguishes little faith from great faith, or incomplete faith from complete faith, is the answer to the question, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, a few years ago, as a family, we crossed the channel on what was quite a clear and bright day. But the sea was a little bit bumpy, a little bit rough, because over previous days, further down the channel, there had been a storm that was now subsiding, but the sea was still affected. That is not what is going on here. Jesus doesn't simply remove the storm such that over the next few hours or days things calm down. No, we're told he rebuked the waves and it came completely calm. Here was someone who had control over nature. And we might well ask, what kind of man is this? And to help us answer, it may be useful to have in our minds what we read of God in the Old Testament. Listen to this from Psalm 107. "Some went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. He hushed the waves of the sea." Or in Job 38, as God speaks of his character and what he's done. "Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Where, here is where your proud waves halt.'" If creation, and particularly waves, are being hushed or halted, it's because God is doing it. Now, right at the outset of the Gospel, we've been introduced to Jesus as the son of Abraham, and therefore the one who brings or fulfills all the promises given to Abraham. We've seen him as the son of David and therefore the long-promised king. We know he's going to be called Jesus because he will save people from their sins, and Emmanuel because he is God with us. But at this point in the Gospel in Matthew 8, despite the miracles, despite the teaching, despite the following, not even the disciples fully understood who Jesus was. That didn't come later till after the cross and resurrection. It means that we know the answer to the question they asked. What kind of man is this? He is all that God is. He is the one who's come into his world as king to save us from our sins. He's the one who's come to usher in the promises of God. Now, there's a lot of his story, and we know it quite well, about one of the prime ministers, I think it was Harold Macmillan, visiting a nursing home, and he asked a resident, "Do you know who I am?" To which the answer came, "No, dear, but ask Matron, and she'll tell you." It's an old story, but it makes a real point. Identity can be missed or misunderstood. And the disciples had failed to understand that creation could never destroy the Lord of creation. That Jesus is not under the world, but over it. Not just a teacher or a miracle worker, but the Lord, God in the flesh. He would die when it was decided for him in the purposes of God to die, on a cross for our sins. And a freak weather storm could never stop those purposes of God. And a freak virus can never stop the purposes of God. Now, when under pressure or in a difficult situation, crying out to Jesus is understandable. But the certainty we have ultimately is in him and his purposes, which is far greater than any storm we might face. We might fear for ourselves and those we know. We might fear for the church and its future, but real faith is not simply about asking Jesus to solve the situation, though he can, but trusting him as the agent of creation, the Lord of the world, God in the flesh who came to die for our sins, that his purposes in his time will be fulfilled whatever we feel and fear. He is building his people. He is building his church. And no storm can stop that. And that is complete or real faith, a faith that chases out fear. Not that necessarily removes the situation from around us, although he did here, Jesus also says that people can kill the body. But rather knowing the perfect king and his perfect promises that will not and cannot be shaken by any situation that might cause us to fear. Jesus is bigger than we think. I wish I had your faith, some might say. And we can reply, you can, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Let me pray, and then some questions will come on the screen. Father, though we fear all that is around us, please help us to trust Jesus and your purposes in him. Amen. And here are the questions. What does this teach us about Jesus? What does this teach us about what it means to have faith in him?
Well, in our final song, we're going to encourage one another to be those who have that real faith, that genuine quality of faith. Those who fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, who call upon his name, will sing together, "By faith we see the hand of God."